In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who comes to us in law and gospel. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Because Krampus is coming with a birch stick to beat you up with it. Or at least that's the way that the little German mythology goes, is that there is this figure called, I've heard both Krampus and Krampus. I'm just going to go with what sounds more English-American to me and say Krampus. And what this person is he is a guest, a sort of wingman to St. Nicholas. And St. Nicholas gets to go around, and they do this sort of good cop, bad cop routine. And if you're a good little kid, then you get to reach into St. Nicholas's sack of goodies and pull out an apple or a sweet or something like that. And if you're a bad kid, well, Krampus knows that. And Krampus is this kind of demonic, devil-looking figure who's sort of hairy. He wears chains around him. He has these rusty bells that are attached to him. He's got big goat horns, and he just looks like somebody that you would be afraid of. And on top of that, on his back, he carries these birch sticks that as soon as he figures out that you're one of the kids that are bad, he's going to take out one of those birch sticks. And, well, you can probably imagine the rest. He wails on you and wails on you and wails on you. And in some versions of the story, he actually takes you and puts you in his sack and steals you away, never to be seen again. I have no idea why this figure is not in our popular celebration of Christmas. He is great. He's this interesting figure because he really kind of is what we would like to be a lot of the time, I think. I think a lot of times we would like to be Krampus. We would like to be the person who gets to go around and gets to judge other people. That we would like to be the person who gets to say, okay, you're the good kid. And you're the bad kid. Because there's something about that sense of punishment that for some reason we crave it. And we crave the punishing of unjust people. We crave the feeling of righteousness that seems to come out of that. We crave that sense of good, even when it's not necessarily good that we're doing, or not even necessarily our place to be exacting that punishment and that judgment. You see it in our political arena a lot. You see it just a little while ago, just about a month ago, we were still seeing all of the punishments that were being doled out upon the different candidates for the different things that they had done, and it was all over our TV screens as this punishment was exacted and people were pulling out their birch sticks ready to go. But we don't only see it there. We see it in our relationships as well. We see it in the way that we give each other these, well, maybe a nasty little look here or there. We say something muttered under our breath, and it's meant to be a punishment. Even if they don't know that we're punishing them, that's okay. If we can just mutter something under our breath and have that feeling of punishment come out of us, it just feels so good. But we don't only punish our politicians, and we don't only punish those whom we have relationships with. We also seem to like to punish ourselves. There's this sense of a judgment that we put on ourselves that we seem to, well, I don't know if enjoy is the right word, and maybe it's some sort of close cousin to Schadenfreude, but this sense that, well, I can punish myself for this. I can make up for the thing that I did wrong. I can make up for not studying for that exam by receiving that grade of an F. Or I can make up for my dumb decisions last night by doing something else today. We've got this sense that at times we like to take out the birch stick and we like to punish ourselves. And that's kind of where Ahaz from our Old Testament reading in Isaiah is at, right at this very point that we're jumping into his story and then jumping out of it almost as quickly as we jumped into it. Ahaz is this king of Israel who's honestly really an awful king. He is not good in any way, shape, or form, but he has wheeled and dealed his way into the palace. And he has wheeled and dealed his way with the Assyrians so that they have sort of set him up as a puppet governor in the nation of Israel. And what he is doing there is he is just trying to keep the peace and trying to keep his seat, trying to keep his throne. And he's made all of these deals and he's a very conflicted person because he knows that all of these deals have been wrong. And he's got this annoying prophet who's near him, who's calling out his every wrongdoing. And Isaiah the prophet comes to this sick king in something that might maybe even fit on House of Cards. And he comes to him and he says, you know what? Just ask God for a sign. Just ask God for anything. Anything, be it high as heaven or deep as Sheol, the deepest of the deep places where the dead are. Ask anything and God will do it. And how does Ahaz respond to this almost question of a genie popping up in his life and asking for his wish? Ahaz responds,
I don't want to put God to the test.
Why wouldn't you? Ahaz, you're stuck. You're in this place where you're just living out a punishment right now. You are about to lose everything that you've had. And here is the prophet Isaiah offering you an out, offering a way for you to finally be free of all of the sins and misdeeds that you've done in your life. And your response is, I don't want to put the Lord God to the test. But how often is that our response to God? How often is our response to a loving God who comes to us in his Son and says, ask anything. Ask for me to forgive any sin. I dare you. Bring out the sin that you think that I won't forgive. Test me, be it high as heaven or deep as Sheol, test me, bring me that sin, see if I won't forgive it. And how often is our response, I don't want to put you to the test. I'll just beat myself up over this one. Thanks. You can have those little piddly sins, I guess, here and there. But the big ones, oh no. The big ones, those are the ones that I'm going to beat myself with a stick about later. And God says, don't do that. Slay the Krampus in your life. Put him to death. Tell him that there is someone who will forgive these sins. And he, instead of coming into our world like a Krampus or a Belznickel, which is a related sort of demon-y figure, instead of coming into our world with a sack full of sticks in order to beat us up with, he comes into our world onto a sack full of sticks in a manger someplace, tucked away where the animals are there along with him. He comes into our world not with a bag full of sticks so that we can be beaten, but he comes into our world so that he can be chained to a post, and there people will beat him for our sakes. He comes not into our world with a bag full of sticks. He comes into our world for two sticks, crossed one over the other, so that he might die on that cross and take away any sin that we dare bring to him. So tonight, put the Lord God to the test. Don't be an Ahaz. Take him up on his offer. Bring him that sin that you think is so deep, and hear his words. I forgive you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.